about 1230 to 1240, and was entirely destroyed in 1536 when the dissolution of the monastery took place. It's a very large church, 180 feet long, as most of the monastic churches were, and the nave of the church was used by the local parishioners, hence its size, and was used by them for various activities as well as for church services. And the choir and presbytery, which are on the other side of the brick wall, were used by the canons for the daily services, which took place all through the 24 hours. And the church was connected with the eastern range by a staircase into the dormitory, so that they could take part in the night services. The original cloister is still marked out here, and the church stood on the north side of the cloister, the chapter house and dormitory on the east side. We still have the dining hall here on the south side, converted to farm buildings in Tudor times, and a portion of the western range, which consisted of the cellarage and guest rooms.
The medieval remains, which are on the south side?
Yes.
Can you tell me something about those?
Well, the dining hall is built of the local Sussex ironstone, and it still has in the north wall the little four arches of the lavatorium, or wash place, which was an important feature of every cloister, where they washed before going into their meals. Adjacent to it is the well, which dates back, we think, to the 13th century. And this building was repaired and re-roofed by the Pelham family in the late 16th century and converted into farm buildings, and in this century has been converted into a modern residence. And next to it on the western side is the two-storied western range, built of Sussex green sandstone, brought probably from quarries at Eastbourne, and that consisted of the entrance hall and the parlour, and above the guest rooms for travellers and visitors to the priory.
Can you tell me something of the order of monks?
Yes, the Augustinian canons were the order here, and they were a very widespread and popular order. They were not monks, they were priests in full orders, and they were what was called an open order, that is to say they could move out from the monastery and be appointed to serve parish churches and travel about amongst the local population. There were 12 canons and a prior on the original foundation, as was the custom with most of the Augustinian monasteries. But we know from the records that during most of the 300 years history of the monastery, the full number was seldom attained here. After the Black Death in 1349, there were only 5 canons left. And at the dissolution in 1536, there were 6 canons who became parish priests in the modern sense of the word after the dissolution.
This was actually destroyed by the order of Henry?
Yes, Henry VIII. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It wasn't just let to go to ruin?
No, we know that some of the buildings were partially ruined even before the dissolution, because they'd been pleading poverty for many years before that date, and the roof of the refectory is recorded as having fallen in, and it's possible that the other buildings were also in some disrepair. The reason for this poverty, which was occurs a lot in the records, is due probably to the enormous amount of charitable work that they were expected to do, including the hospitality they had to give to travellers and pilgrims and any sick or old people who could come and claim succour at the gate of the monastery every day. And all the monasteries seem to have spent an enormous part of their endowments in this work.
This monastery hasn't got a wall round it. It's got a moat round it, which is part of the River Cookmere. Mm. Can you tell me something about this?
Yes, well, this is an unusual feature of Mitcham, that it was an island site, and we think it dates back to pre-conquest times, because the word Mitcham is Anglo-Saxon and means the Great Bend or the Great Loop, which refers to the double loop of the river. And probably after they'd built the monastery, they felt that this waterway system could be converted into an adequate defence for the monastery, and so there never was built a precinct wall. But with most monasteries, especially those in towns, they were provided with very high stone walls as the main defence. But the moat at Mitcheham is one of the largest moats ever constructed in England, and is over 40 feet wide in places, and it seems likely that this was considered to be an adequate defence all through its history. From excavations which we are carrying on at the moment, we find that there was a medieval building at the bottom of the South Lawns, which could not have been there when the moat was there. So it seems that the moat was built after that building, namely in the 14th century, probably when the gatehouse was built, when they found the need for adding to the fortifications after the peasant revolt in 1381, when all the monasteries were attacked by the local peasantry. And, of course, the moat and river system also provided drainage, sewerage, and a fish supply.
The Pelham family came here in
1587.
Mm-hmm. And stayed how long?
They only lived here, they did live here for about 15 to 20 years, but it was Herbert Pelham, who was a younger son of the then Pelham family, and he spent a large part of his fortune on restoring Mitcheham and building the big stone farmhouse here, and he got into financial difficulties, and he had to place the property in the hands of trustees in 1600. And in 1603 the whole property was sold to the Sackville family, and the Sackvilles owned it until just before 1900 and had tenants mainly here through the 300 years of their ownership, most of whose names we know from some old rent books which have been found in Lewes in recent years.
The Sackville family, is there very much history about them?
No, very little history as far as Mitcheham is concerned. They don't seem to have many records in their family archives of their ownership of Mitcheham. There was a rather interesting map of William Figg, came to light some years ago in Lewes, dated 1790, showing the Sackville property at Mitcheham. And beyond these rent books, which give the lists of the tenants and the amount of rent they paid and the amount of wood they could cut and that kind of detail, we know very little about the Sackville ownership, and they don't seem to have done very much to the buildings through all that time.
After they left, who?
During the 20th century, three private families have owned Mitcheham, including the Gwynnes of Polegate, and they have done, between them, quite a lot of restoration work and some a good deal of alteration inside the priory buildings to modernise the house. Particularly the Wright family in the 1920s restored it and converted the old refectory into the modern residence. And they did farm the lands through all those years until up till 1959, when the lands were sold and the house was given to the Sussex Archaeological Trust.